Live from the Bill's famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the post-eclipse version of the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Behind me, after a one-week birthday hiatus, happy birthday, by the way.
50th.
Is the man who is going to keep track of our picks, help us produce the show, look up any information that we might need. You know him as Mr. Electricity, Whiteboard Jody. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country Matt Kempf, and bellied up to the bar.
Why'd you fart when he called my name?
I mean, wait a minute.
That was disrespectful.
What was that
That's
all about?
That's a terrible way to start the show.
He's already in it.
No, he's coming for us, dude. He's coming for us.
He's already in it.
He's already in it.
So I'm just going to...
Finish the introduction.
No, come on.
I'm going to skip the witty introduction.
He doesn't deserve it tonight. And oops, bellied up to the bar, looks like a Florida housewife. Freddie Benders.
That's better than anything I was going to come up with tonight. Fellas, it's good to have everybody back down here. Jody, welcome back. Glad to have you back.
Thank you.
To say the least, a very interesting last 48 hours here locally, and we will certainly delve into that. Want to remind everybody, we are on social media on Twitter at Blockout Pod. On Facebook, just type in at Blockout Sports Pod into your search bar. First things first, last night we had the national championship game, obviously coming off the back of the Final Four, which played out essentially the way that we thought that it was going to. We talked about it on last week's show. We all thought that Purdue and UConn would win. I wouldn't say easily, but we thought that both teams would win, and then we all thought that UConn was the better team, and they proved that again last night. Back-to-back champions for the first time since Billy Donovan, who we'll talk about, I'm sure, a little bit later, and Florida. Just kind of wanted to get you guys' final thoughts on the college basketball season as a whole, and maybe UConn's place in history. I mean, are we on the verge of maybe is there such a thing as dynasties in college sports anymore? Is UConn on the precipice of that? Have they already established that they are? It is back-to-back championships in college basketball. Is that considered a dynasty now?
I don't know if you would have called Florida a dynasty when they did it, but I think UConn had the. I don't know if the word dynasty applies as much as the phrase blue blood. I feel like that's more of a college saying, and I think last year's championship kind of solidified that UConn was a blue blood, and then this year is just another blue blood winning another championship.
Yeah, so when you looked at they had six.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look and see Duke and North Carolina with three, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
With three, that shows you something right there.
And, you know, what we had said, and I've been saying all season long, that I thought how Purdue was going to eventually get beat, if they got beat, was they were going to have a night where they struggled from outside the three-point line. Now, it wasn't just that they struggled from outside the three-point line. Connecticut obviously had a game plan where they said Edie can score 35, 40 points, but the rest of the team's not going to beat us. We're going to guard like crazy outside the three-point line. We're going to bother their guards and make the guards essentially beat us. Well, when Fletcher Loyer goes scoreless in that ball game and Purdue goes 1-for-7 from outside the three-point line, I don't care how well Edie played, you're not going to win. Guys, your final thoughts on the season and on UConn as their champion and going forward?
I mean, the thing about UConn that really gets me is how it's just amazing the adjustments they make at halftime and then how they blow you out of the game in the first 3 minutes of the second half. Normally in college basketball, you have teams that every team comes out of halftime. Yes, they're amped up and they get going. And then you have, if you're up 12, the other team, you know they're going to make a run with about 9 or 8 minutes to go if they're down. You know, it's just almost always the same. But I have never seen a team that literally blows you out like clockwork in the first 3-4 minutes of the second half. And it's literally over. I mean over.
And they did it for the entire tournament.
Yeah, and they don't let up. They just continue to feed off. It's almost like they have they're running little plays that they have set up for when they're up 20. You know, like, here's what we're going to do when we're up 20. It's a new time. It's a new time in college sports, dude. It's NIL. It's transfer portal. Basketball has showed us that it's even, I guess it's easy. I mean, it's even easier. Well, it seems like the teams win easier with NIL and a transfer portal in basketball.
How many players,
than even football.
How many players did Connecticut lose to the NBA last year? Three?
They lost three starters and two key bench players. That's five total.
So
completely rebuilt.
For them to come back and, you know, possibly be better than they were last
definitely
year.
Definitely be
you
better
know?
Than they were.
They're only the second team to ever win back-to-back championships and win both games by at least 15 points.
Right. And if you have
that's pretty impressive.
And I'll let Tuna jump in here, but if you have seasoned players like NIL players that have played a couple of years, well, hell, the point guard's 24 years old, who I thought was fantastic, could have been the MVP of the tournament for everything that he does every game that they're in.
But then you also have Castle, who's a freshman, who
who finds his
15
points.
Well,
and that's the McDonald's
night.
All-American guy that comes in and finds his little niche. It's just amazing how that if you have a coach that has a system that knows what the hell he's doing, how quickly these guys can just jump in, figure it out, and play it to perfection.
And let's all say right now that do you guys believe that? Well, I mean, it's hard to say that he's not, that Danny Hurley right now is the top coach in all of college basketball?
Yes.
Mm. Him and Pat Kelsey's 1-1A. But yeah, I'd say he's up there.
I mean, just the things that he does. I mean, he works the refs like crazy. Not that other people don't. Calipari never shuts up either. Pitino works the refs like crazy. Those three really come to mind.
I think that here's the difference is like Hurley scares the refs, where I think Cal is like more like whining
to the
refs.
Right.
Like Hurley gets in their business, man. Like, I'm honestly surprised that he hasn't been thrown out of more games than he has. Like, but
I don't think he has a fresh approach, approach.
They run a true offense and a true defense, which you don't find those combinations with most college basketball teams. They're one or the other.
Right.
I mean, they are really good defensively, and their offense is impressive to watch them to run the plays that they run.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
They make everything look so simple.
I think what makes me sick to my stomach is the fact that Luke Murray, who gets a lot of credit for being the architect for a lot of this offense, is a guy that Louisville fired a couple years ago. You know what I mean?
Like,
That was
that's a good point.
Yeah, and he's up to get a head coaching job soon. I think the problem is they keep going so deep in March, teams can't really interview him. He's almost like a victim of his own success,
right?
You know?
Right.
Did you say Luke Perry?
Yes.
Who?
Yes. 8 seconds.
Oh. 90210.
I'm talking about Bill Murray's son.
Okay, Bill Murray's son. Exactly. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, if Bill Murray's in the stands, your team's probably going to do well.
I think we overlooked this a little bit. What's impressive is, you know, they have 6 national titles now in 25 years. That ties 3rd all time with UNC
and Duke.
And Duke have 6.
I think.
Behind, obviously, Kentucky. Kentucky has 4 titles in the last 64 years. People, yeah. I've heard that number pop up a few times the last 2 days, just to put it in comparison.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like very
and
many.
They beat Kentucky a couple times in huge games, one of them being the national championship.
And they were, what, 11 seed when that happened? Or
yeah.
What?
Yeah. And matter of fact, when they won with Jim Calhoun, they beat Duke in the championship game.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's impressive that they've done it with 3 different coaches. Because a lot of, you know, you look at Duke and they've really only done that with Coach K. And then, you know, I don't know. There's not a lot of teams out there that have done it with multiple coaches. Obviously, Kentucky's being one of them. And what, North Carolina was.
Yeah.
I guess they've
Dean
done it with
Smith,
3,
Roy
right?
Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Indiana with 2.
Mm-hmm.
Drink.
But, and
UofL with 2.
I will say that I also want to give a lot of props to Purdue and Zach Edey in particular, because he certainly did not shy away from the big moment last night. He just, you know, he did what he does and the rest of the team didn't. So Painter obviously is another great college basketball coach. And despite what all my Indiana friends might think, I was very happy for Purdue to have gotten as far as they did. But then, as I said on the podcast last week, I couldn't root for them to win the championship because their fans would have been insufferable. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of the best of all worlds. They made the Final Four. They still don't have a national championship. So I don't want to hear any chirping from
I
you,
lost 400.
Purdue people. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, Fred.
Well, I didn't bet that much. But it would have been nice. One of them old futures.
And I would assume, without having looked at, I'm sure that they've already come out with next year's top 25, like the...
Well, I think there's betting odds favorites out there already. And I think what was fascinating, I seen it earlier, Kentucky was the 3rd favorite to win, and they don't have a coach or a roster right now,
right.
Which I think is just incredible.
I love that.
So,
I mean, do we assume that UConn is just going to be the preseason?
Until somebody knocks them off, they've got to be up there.
No. I mean, I would,
I think
I would
Seton
think,
Hall is their only kryptonite. I really believe that. Like Shaheen Holloway, they're going to have to play in
the
championship.
They're
going
to have someone they're going to lose to in that conference every once in a while.
I mean, really, St. John's gave them the toughest game of the run.
Right.
Like, that was a 5-point game in the Big East tournament.
That's another thing. When you play conference teams, they figure out how to beat you eventually here and there, and that's always going to happen. But, I don't know who else. Like, I mean, they've got to be the favorites. I don't know. I think Alabama would probably be up there with some of their players stay. They made a nice.
Well,
win.
And
Alabama definitely should be up there.
Yeah,
and that's the other thing. It's way too early to really even talk about this because of the transfer portal and NIL.
Oh my God! Yeah,
guys are going to be going. I mean, pretty much. It would appear to me that the entire Indiana State roster, all the important players, are following shirts to St. Louis.
Well, I will say that University of Louisville did reach out to Robbie Avila today. So,
oh, did they?
Yes.
Oh.
So if that would happen, then I may wear rec specs for the next year.
Is that Larry Nerd? Right?
Yes.
Are y'all the only team that reached out to
him? I'm sure others have, but we're the only one that matters.
That's what I figured. Mm-hmm. Now you set it up correctly.
Mm-hmm. So
you all see how tall his horse is over there?
What his horse?
Sit, your high horse you're sitting on over there.
Oh. I thought Robbie Avila had a pet horse. I was like, I don't know. I mean, 6 foot? What's the average height for a horse?
So many ups and downs in the bluegrass state.
But to tie a bow on it, it was a great tournament. Not necessarily a great Final Four or a great championship game, but it kind of went the way that we thought it would. I actually did not look. Jody, do you know if you won our blockout bracket challenge?
I think I came in second because somebody had UConn, so that automatically.
Okay. Well,
I don't know who that was.
If you won, yeah, that's what I thought. I think I said that last week. If Connecticut won, somebody else won. If they lost, you won. I don't know who won.
Do you know their name?
No, they have it's like basketball fan 25-26 something. So
don't click on it. It's probably an OnlyFans link.
I won more games out of the 63, but they had more points.
If you won Semantics. Our bracket challenge, please reach out to me on social media and let me know who you are so I can
Venmo
Venmo you your winnings, and I will throw in a t-shirt.
And some bumper stickers.
So that gets that out of the way. Now we can move on to the real meat and potatoes of this episode.
Cricket.
Who, you have only having three on the roster?
Three more than what most teams have right now.
So Sunday night, I was in Bloomington.
Midnight.
At my parents' house with Colin watching WrestleMania, as you do. And
as you do.
And I saw a tweet come across, and it was a screenshot from somebody and the body of the screenshot said, John Calipari is in final stages of negotiation with Arkansas to become their next head basketball coach. And the person who tweeted it said, I'm glad this guy put his name on this because this is crazy, or something to that extent. So I asked Colin, who's very quick technologically and knows how to look this kind of stuff up. I said, man, look this guy up and see if this is real. And he looks it up and he's like, dude, this is the sports director of the Fox affiliate in Little Rock. And I said, well, I mean, maybe that. So then that starts the, now we're all frantically searching Twitter, search John Calipari, search Arkansas, search UK. And within an hour, it had gotten legs enough where people like Matt Jones were retweeting that they heard that it was going to happen. Anyway, I was shocked because of the timing of it and because of the Arkansas piece. But looking back on it now and from things that are starting to come out, it seems like it had become an untenable situation with Calipari and Kentucky. But I want to get Fred and Jody's initial reactions to it. How did you guys hear it, and what did you think when you first heard that it was possible that Cal was leaving Kentucky? Fred.
I'm on a UK thread with about 12 people. And our friend that does the bracket challenge, Emily, sent a message with that on it and said, this can't be real, can it? And this was an hour before, or 2 hours. This was like, I don't even know. I would say 10 o'clock or something. I went, no way, and went on. And that's what I replied back. And then an hour or two, or an hour and a half later, when it started getting to be around 11:45, almost midnight, that's when everything started happening. Like, other people were replying back. It was 11 o'clock on a Sunday, so most people aren't texting then, but this is pretty insane news. When your coach that's, you think might be fired for a 33 million dollar buyout is going to actually get, is actually going to leave and not get that buyout and go to a smaller school, if you will, still with good, but it all made sense a little bit once you found out that Calipari's friends with the Tyson chicken guy, blah, blah, blah. You know how all that happens. I don't know. I can see, just in a quick nutshell on how it all happened and when it was happening. You know, I always thought that Calipari is one of them guys that I just never saw him saying, the hell with y'all, you're going to fire me, I'm getting out of here, I've ran my course, fire me, I'm taking my money, and I'll go somewhere else and get a job. I believe Calipari is a good person. He's done more for the University of Kentucky than probably any coach in history. Maybe not, other than Adolph Rupp, who had his own issues, believe me. But off the field, Calipari has done so many great things. The telethons, raising money, involving people, all what he did for all the players and their families. We get it. He has millions of friendships, millions of people around there. He is not going to just shit on all that and go out. I just don't see Calipari. He cares what people think of him. And I just never thought he was going to go out that way. And it just made sense that he would take, if you will, as much as you could, hating the athletic director like he does, and they don't like each other, taking the high road to a certain extent and saying, you know what, if the fans don't want me, we need a change, they need a change, I got people in Arkansas, it's a great place, and you know what, I got a chip on my shoulder now, I can go in there and play them, maybe beat them a couple times, they keep their money, get who they want. You know what I mean? It all made sense to me as I'm sitting there watching it happen. Then the two-day wait and all that. Now, I'll let Jody get into it. We can get further into it.
I have
the
same question for you, Jody, how you heard and what your initial thoughts were.
I was out with friends having a cocktail, and I'm heading towards the bathroom, and this guy looks at my hat. He goes, dude, you're a UK fan? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, have you heard the news? That's how I heard from a complete stranger.
That's hilarious.
I'm like, no. He's like, Cal's leaving. And I go, it doesn't shock me. I mean, I think it was going to be now or next year.
Right.
I think
it was the timing surprised everybody.
In my opinion, it's almost a class act, if you will, that he didn't go, fire me, give me my $33 million, I'm out of here.
Right.
He wanted to part ways the right way.
Right. I think he's going to.
After the press conference with Barnhart. But, you know, people say the way Calipari talks, you can't believe half the stuff that comes out of his mouth.
True.
I'll tell you what, Mitch Barnhart's the same way.
He is. He's got his own problems.
He's a man of faith.
But just like Dabo.
That's how I heard
him
about
him and Dabo,
it.
two peas in a pod.
That's right.
and we're not – apparently we're supposed to find out who we get Friday. Saturday is when we find out.
Can I give my 2 cents?
Yeah. Tuna has a whole
– Before he goes, he and I talked before you guys got here. Trilly Donovan said that he put a thing out on Twitter saying that what he had heard was that now, for those of you that don't know, John Calipari does not have an agent, okay? And
two
so
lawyers.
What he had heard was that Cal had been contacted by Arkansas, okay, and they were talking. Now, Cal has a thing in his contract, since he doesn't have an agent, that he's supposed to have to tell Mitch Barnhart that he's had...
any negotiations.
He's been in contact with these people. Right. Now, what he was told was that Cal's right-hand man there leaked the fact...
You're talking about Peavy.
Is that his name?
Dwight Peavy is the athletic director at DePaul now.
But he...
That's not his right-hand man anymore.
Okay.
His attorney, I've got it here, he put a tweet out just
I would know his
ago.
Name if you said it out loud.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. But anyway, go on and I'll
so,
say
so, what they said was that he leaked all this thinking that the fans and the boosters and so forth would all rally around Cal.
Tom Mars.
I don't think that was...
Tom Mars' was, attorney.
Okay,
yeah.
But I don't think that was the guy that they say leaked all this. Mm.
And Barnhart called his bluff.
Essentially, what Trilly Donovan said was that they leaked all this thinking that the that the boosters and the fans would all be up in arms and say, no way, we want Cal, Barnhart has to leave, and then his buddy was going to swoop in.
Peavy.
Was going to swoop in and take the AD job.
That's Dwight Peavy.
That's Dwight Peavy. And when Peavy left at UK, just so you know, that's when things really started falling apart in the last five,
so
6 years.
That's
Peavy, the relationship.
Yeah,
with
he was the nuts and bolts.
So that's the story that Trilly Donovan and a couple other people that kind of verified that on the radio that said, we've heard that too.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. But
earlier.
Tuna has a unique spin on this and thought on this, please.
Is Jerome Tang involved?
No.
Okay.
But I think I'm the only person with this insight, and it's like I just kind of sat back and you read the tea leaves and you look at the timing and follow me on this.
You did great with Louisville, buddy. I'm giving you props.
Just follow me on this. I think that Cal was smoked out by the donors. Okay, who was going to have to pay the $33 million buyout? That's donors, right? Yeah. They were going to have to pay it. We know for a fact that the big donors down at UK have not been contributing to basketball the last couple years,
right.
Correct?
Yeah, Jody even told us that.
So how do you get rid of Cal is by cutting off his funds. They started the reason it made me believe this is that they started this law Familia. Is that what it's called? It's the corniest, dumbest name ever for a NIL deal that's just dedicated for basketball. Yep. Their first day, they collected $35,000. The next 9 days following, a total of $1,500. There's just no contributions coming into basketball. He's getting no donor money coming in, so they're saying, you know what? Cal's not going to be able to go out and get his players and pay them what they want, and he's going to have no choice but to leave here and go somewhere else where he can get donor support. Because in the world of basketball today, you can't do it on your own. You need the donors and you need the fan base to give you money. So the donors are like, we're not going to pay this $33 million. We're just not going to give him money to get any players anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just said, screw it, I got to go. Or all I'm gonna do some outrageous shit, put UK in a bind, try to like get them to give me money. If not, then I'll leave.
Right.
And I honestly and believe
I
that's kind of what
Pete
happened.
Pete Thamel said that he was putting feelers out in other places other than Arkansas.
Apparently he was going after Ohio State
yes,
back in
Ohio
February.
State. Yeah.
That Matt Norlander put that out, who is probably one of the most trusted sources in all of college basketball.
Right.
If you look at it, I feel like that's the only thing that logically makes sense. And I think that's a brilliant move by UK donors.
Right.
I mean, really, if you wanted him out of there, the easiest way to do that is to stop giving him money.
Right.
Apparently, like Joe Kraft, the biggest donor that you guys have, he hasn't given money other than to Oscar Tshiebwe, but that was to come back for a second year, but that's because he had a personal relationship with Oscar Tshiebwe.
And
he hasn't given money to Cal in years.
Money, right, yeah.
No.
Because he's out of, not, like,
he had to go to, like, the Bahamas.
He's like
Zach
Edey.
Right, yeah.
Zach Edey.
Exactly.
Situation.
Any foreign guys can't get money like that.
No, that's crazy. And so what you're saying is that, so Barnhart kind of called his bluff and said, no,
Yeah, I think the donors and Barnhart were like in cahoots on this, and they were like, all right, you know. Yeah. And
so be it.
Yeah.
Now, what we haven't found out is why Kyle waited.
I mean, do you think that's far-fetched?
Why he waited 24 hours for this 3-4 o'clock interview.
I think he was really in shock that the donors were going to hold to it and say, all right, go.
Right, right.
I think he was really kind of thinking that, like, they would step up and be like, we want to keep you.
Right.
And they didn't. They never did.
Right. I don't know what island he was on.
Well,
if he was thinking that, but.
Well, like, we've talked about this before. To be a successful, like, Division I coach, you have to have a level of arrogance about you.
Right.
So you got to think, like, all the stuff that he's done at UK. He thinks about that before he thinks about all the bad stuff. And in his mind, you guys should be grateful to him,
right.
Which you should to an extent.
Sure.
But in his mind, it's like the bad stuff, you guys are overreacting, and you just forgot about all the good stuff.
Right.
And
right.
then you guys should be begging him to stay, but you didn't, and the donors didn't.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is Cal's never going to change. He's so hard-headed and stuck in those ways, he's never going to change. And that's the thing about it is, you know, he made, yes, it's great what he did for families and all these McDonald's All-Americans and all the, what he did with everybody. But the fact of the matter is he put them before the University of Kentucky. And that was one of his downfalls as well.
Well, even that little video vlog statement thing that he put out, you know, he was like, when I think about what we've done here, and he made a point, he was like, the regional championships and the
The
conference championships and the 2012 national championship, and I'm like, you know, all that was good, and he was but look, you look around this basement right here at all these pictures we have of Bob Knight. Bob Knight was the king of Indiana, the king of Indiana University. At one time, probably could have ran for governor of the state. But guess what? His last, 7-8 years? They started losing in the first round of the tournament. And all of a sudden, yelling at a guy in a Chinese restaurant or throwing a plant across the room and smashing it behind the secretary's head. All of a sudden, that stuff started being a big deal.
Exactly.
And at Kentucky, Cal could get away with kind of being aloof and above everything when he was winning.
Yeah.
And winning big.
But he lost some big people, and it pushed him further out on this island
and,
that he was on.
You know, when you get beat in the first round of the tournament, what was it, 2 out of the last 3 years? Was it 2 out of the last 3 years?
We've got 1 NCAA win in the last 4 years.
Okay, so when that starts happening, all these things that everybody could look past, you can't look past them anymore. And,
well,
you know,
UK fans are watching Danny Hurley, who's however old, take all these NIL guys. Like, everything we just talked about with UConn, the world is watching. We are seeing what happened, and we know that can happen at Louisville or Kentucky.
It can happen anywhere.
It can happen just like that. So we don't need Cal and his recruiting strategy to get 4 McDonald's All-Americans that their nuts tighten up in the SEC quarterfinals. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? There's so many other ways of going about it.
I think like Travis was talking about like how your personality gets old when you're not winning. The minute that Danny Hurley starts losing, that is going to get old real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they need to enjoy that ride for the next 15 years or
That's
something.
That's right.
But,
I mean, it's, I hate to keep going back to it. I think Bob Knight is the greatest example of that ever. When he was winning the way that he won, everybody could laugh at the press conferences and laugh at him cussing out this guy or doing this or that. Man, when you're not winning anymore, all that stuff is not so cool.
Right.
Well, the thing is, like, Cal wouldn't even do his post games after losses.
Right.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do the call-in shows. Yeah. Like, he would send assistant coaches out there to face the Wolves. And it's like, when he went down to Auburn and beat Auburn down there, and it was the huge win, he came out and he was like, you guys doubted me.
Right.
And he was right in front of the camera.
Very defensive. Yeah.
Like, as much as you could be. And it's like...
Now, here's the thing. I've sent you all this a text before on this, and we don't have to hit on it too hard, but it really, really makes sense. And you all can drink the whole time we're talking about it.
Bama.
But the fact of the matter is you can't compare Nick Saban and John Calipari, but you compare the two schools in their respective sports. Mammoths of historic mammoths of their sports. You have Nick Saban there. He's winning national championships the way he knows how. 6-3 over LSU. Okay? But what Calipari didn't do that Nick Saban did do that made him the greatest coach of all time in college football is he wasn't bigger than the school, and he didn't let his head fill up. What he did was, I want to win, and that's all that matters. The fans here want to win. We're going to win and turn these kids into men. And what he did was he set his ego aside, and he hired guys that were in trouble for DUIs and guys that got fired for the Raiders in Tennessee that didn't handle their shit right. Lane Kiffin, Sarkisian, he hired young guns, took chances, took risks, changed his whole philosophy to try and opened up his mind in coaching to learn it all. And in a nutshell, won way more championships and became what he was. John Calipari did the exact opposite. And that is why he is floating down a hog raft to Arkansas.
Call me crazy, but I think he's going to be successful down there.
I know he is. Dude,
I really think he is.
Dude, he's going to be great. Oh, my God. They're going to eat that up. They're going to eat it up down there. But Betty, remember, they expect him to win when he gets there.
Well,
losing when he gets there. But
two Elite Eights and a Sweet 16.
Two Elite
in the
Eights
last
and a
four.
Sweet 16. Yep. Can Cal do that? I'm going to tell you right now. No. It will not happen. However, he will win big games that they have not been able to do in places. Well, I mean, everybody wins at Rupp now, so that's not hard. But I do believe that he will really, really take that on. I mean, dude, they're going to love him down there. Are you kidding me? Cal and Petrino together?
I know. Isn't it amazing?
I heard someone say today, the biggest, most electric atmosphere they've ever seen in Rupp was when Patino came back with Louisville.
Right.
And they go, the Arkansas-Kentucky game is going to blow that out of the water next year.
Remember when
I'll tell Patino you right now, I guarantee
the it's student a, section
oh,
off.
Yeah.
I, but I guarantee, I think when Cal shows up there, I think he'll be treated like a king. I think, I
not
don't
the
think,
first time.
I don't
Second
know.
Time, yes.
Maybe.
I mean, he's going to be welcome.
A lot of them lower
tier
UK fans.
But when that ball goes
that
up,
route,
I think there's a lot of stories going to come out about Cal behind the scenes.
Maybe.
I think so.
But he could have done a lot worse than just losing ball games.
Okay? Well,
when he came to Kentucky, he was a cheater. And he did this and he did that and he did this and did that. And he was Marcus Camby and Memphis and all that. You got to give him credit. When he got to UK, they never got in trouble. I mean, and that's what was all over his shoulders baggage-wise.
Well, I mean, at that point.
So.
I don't want to get into it, but Nike was doing all the work at that point. But with all the stuff that happened with Marcus Camby, he was cleared of. It was proven that he had nothing to do with it.
Right.
And then
the
ACT,
Derrick Rose stuff.
The Derrick Rose stuff was
shady.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But he was cleared of that.
The test for him.
But anyway, I mean, I'm sure he was involved in something. But at UK, he was under such a microscope, he couldn't screw up. Right. So I think Nike did a lot of that work for him, and they were doing the same stuff that Adidas was doing. It's just Adidas was blatantly stupid about it.
Right.
You know, and they're the ones that went down in that FBI sting. But anyway, I think that the big thing we all want to talk about is who's going to replace him.
Absolutely. Okay. That's where I want to go now.
Well, I want to say one thing before we go there. He was here for 15 years. He himself said this multiple times. You have about a 10-year shelf life as a UK basketball
player. I remember him saying that.
He said that himself several times. So at the end of the day, he got us one national championship. Thanks, Cal. Good luck in Arkansas. See ya.
Right. Yeah. And, hey, I don't have any and I kind of have a lot of respect or have respect for the way that he handled this going out, I guess. You know, it was weird that it lasted an extra day. But he didn't – he could have really screwed us with the money. And maybe we – as Tuna says, maybe we got him.
I think it was a brilliant move by your donors. I really do.
So maybe he wasn't able to do what he wanted to do.
I think every group of big donors in college sports should take – Texas A&M should have done that with Jimbo. Like, they should have got together and been like, hey, let's just not give him money anymore.
Well, I am going to go out on a limb and say that Cal did not suddenly decide to be Mr. Magnanimous and say, you know what? I'll leave that $33 million on the table.
Right.
If there was a way for him to get that or even a piece of that. But
I do, you know, he's got so many relationships. But the thing is, like, he don't want to burn bridges with all these
people.
He
could have stayed there and coached.
He knows.
An awful team for a couple years with lack of talent, or he could take another job and keep winning. And I think that was his only option.
So, with all that being said, Freddie, Jody, give me your top three guys that you...
Well, I'm going to give you more than top three. I told everyone yesterday that the people... It doesn't matter if they say no, people. This is what people don't understand. Well, they're going to say no. Guess what? I don't give a shit if they're going to say no. You call Danny Hurley. He's got an ego. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He may have said something today about his wife. She don't want to drive to Jersey. This, that, the other. I don't care what he said on Pat McAfee's show. I don't care what anyone said anywhere. You get on the phone with him and you call him and hear him say no. Check mark. Okay, he said no. But you got to call him. You got to call Brad Stevens.
No.
Yes, you
that
do.
No.
Yes, you do.
Brad Stevens would not.
What, are you
going to
call him and ask him advice on who they should hire?
Brad Stevens.
That's the only thing that
Brad
you would do.
Brad Stevens would not. He would not answer that phone call.
Okay.
He wouldn't. He's the president of the freaking Celtics. Yeah. I mean,
maybe he wants to coach again.
I think maybe we might have a little bit of an inflation of what Kentucky basketball is the biggest thing.
I think it's the best job in college
in this state,
or college basketball.
But he is the president of the Boston Celtics,
exactly,
who have the best record in the NBA.
Right, they're getting ready to win a national championship. I mean, a world championship. Yeah. I get it.
Brad Stevens. Okay.
You have ties to him. You didn't like that. So what?
Let's just skip that.
He did diss Indiana too. So.
He didn't diss Indiana. Well, they never called him because they said, what idiot would leave the president of the Celtics to be a college basketball
coach? There was a certain
coach
that
don't
left
UK hang out the pros
to
anymore.
Be a coach at the Celtics.
People that don't want to hang out the pros anymore and teach young people. I mean, people change their minds for millions of reasons.
Yeah, well, okay.
I mean, life isn't all about money.
That's what
I'm sure Brad Stevens has saved up a lot of money. I'm sure he's doing just fine.
Hey, Wayne Turner's already there.
And anyways, Brad Stevens' name comes up for all kinds of shit. I'm not just pulling this out of my ass.
Oh,
let's be real.
I know, but I
y'all
think
got a
it's,
better shot of getting ET. But
I think it's hilarious. Okay, well, I think it's hilarious.
Guess what? We have probably no shot of getting Mark Few, but I think you call him. And you say, hey, Few, you ever going to fucking win one over there in Gonzaga? No. Okay, well, why don't you come to Big Town and let's see if you can win one. Hey, make the call. okay? Because Mark Few is legit. He is the top in the very – other than Hurley, I'm going to tell you right now, Mark Few is the second best coach in the country.
I got to know this. Why do people put Mark Few on this pedestal above Scott Drew? Tell me why.
Because he's went to way more Final Fours, and he's went to way more Sweet 16s.
He's been a coach way longer.
And he's been a coach way longer.
He hasn't won a championship.
I know, but he's got a whole lot of other accolades.
Now, I do.
In the tournament.
I do think the Mark Few thing.
He plays in a shitty conference.
Well, to me, so what?
The Few thing, to me, is very interesting because, as you know, the Indiana job has come up. Has come open several times in the last, 15 years or whatever. And every time they always say, we asked Mark Few, he always says, I'm not leaving Spokane or whatever. But as he gets older,
exactly,
and he gets to the end of his career, and here's where I'm going to agree with you, Fred. I don't think it's likely.
I agree.
But I would have said 5 years ago, it's 0% that he's leaving Spokane. And now I think as he gets older and he hasn't won a national championship.
Yeah. It's like Damian Lillard. Same thing.
I could see it more than I ever could have. I still don't think it'll happen, but you're right. Now that is a phone call.
And those,
I think he's just the chick that looks way hotter because you can't have her.
And those
but like once you get her, you realize she's not that hot.
I don't know. But I know those Gonzaga people would be like, "You get it, Mark. Good luck to you. You did everything for us. We couldn't get it done. Go do it there." I don't even think that he would get any bad ridicule from anyone.
Probably not.
He's given them
everything.
He's
done everything there.
He's fly fished for 20 years.
Who else?
Okay. Billy Donovan next.
Okay.
We've been talking about him. I'm a Bulls fan. I keep up with our playoff run now that I wish we didn't have.
I think that's the first realistic one that I think that you said. I think that's definitely possible.
Right. Well, you know, they're throwing out 11 to 12 million here. Just so you know, I don't know if you've researched that number yet, but that's what they're putting out.
I heard 14 for Danny Hurley.
Okay, 14. But Billy Donovan, as far as a Bulls fan, Billy Donovan, the front office for the Bulls is the worst in the NBA. Just ask Michael Jordan. I don't know. The Wizards probably had a better record than the Bulls have post Michael Jordan. They will not, the front office will not pick up anybody for him. He's winning with mediocre players. He's got Zach LaVine leaving. Who's the other guy leaving that's the Hall of Famer? I'm having a brain fart.
DeMar
Travis.
DeRozan?
Yes, DeMar DeRozan is gone after this year. There is nobody on that team but Kobe White and a couple young people. They can't draft worth a shit. The bottom line is his contract is up to next at the end of the year. There's this play-in game. That's the what everything falls down on. Okay, so we'll see what happens with that. After Donovan, same thing as Louisville, Scott Drew. I mean, his name comes up all the time. I guess what Drew gets so higher than everyone else
you
is
wouldn't
because
put
he,
Drew ahead of – of the other guys you mentioned? Or?
No.
No?
Okay. No.
This is the common thing that I've noticed, just today and yesterday, is the lack of respect that Scott Drew gets from Kentucky fans. I feel like they'd be so disappointed, and that seems to be the common thing.
I would not be disappointed at all, and I know he's good friends with Mitch Barnhart.
Oh, they're text buddies.
He's probably, already been offered the job. He's probably already been offered a job. I don't know if Drew can handle everything aside from all the crazy crap that goes on. That's what worries me about
That's
Drew.
What scared me when his name was being mentioned for Louisville.
But he did bring them from the doldrums. But quite frankly, he ain't done that much in the tournament. Let's be real. He won a championship with a great team. But other than that, what'd he do this year? Nothing. I don't care if you make the Sweet 16. I don't want the Sweet 16.
Baylor won one tournament game in the school history before he got there.
I get it. And that's why he's got legs to stand on over everybody else. Because he really hasn't done that great.
The number three recruiting class in Waco, Texas.
He is a great recruiter, and his people are. I think he's got great assistant coaches. And
look at the assistant coaches he's produced, too, that are out there coaching. I mean, Jerome Tang, obviously.
I'll tell you another thing. He came into Rupp Arena a few times and whooped our butts, but good.
Yeah.
Too. He never lost against us. So, other than Drew, I'm going to let Jody take it further than that.
All right, my top three are not coming, period.
And that's what I said. I knew my top three weren't coming.
And you can rank them any way you want. But the first thing I will say, if you're going to be the coach at UK, you got to have thick skin.
Definitely.
And big, broad shoulders.
Yes.
And there's not many people out there that have that.
Right.
These three guys
Nate
do.
Oates, are you listening? You little worm.
These three guys
do. I got broad shoulders and thick skin.
Nate Oates.
And not in any certain order. Obviously. The guy that just won back-to-back national championships.
Right.
Jay Wright.
Yep.
Who has got a fabulous job right now. He loves it. He's relaxed. It's good for his health. He's doing what he's still involved in basketball. And the other one's Bruce Pearl. And some people are going to argue and make fun of that. But Bruce Pearl is a guy that would come. The fans would love him from.
It wouldn't hurt me if Bruce Pearl was
80
chosen.
Years old. He's going to be involved in the community. He's going to be upbeat. But we're
no,
not.
No, I agree.
We're
not it would not hurt me. Right?
Can I tell you one more thing that screws Bruce Pearl? Is that his son is the coach in waiting down there at Auburn, and I think wherever he goes, he's kind of looking for that commitment also. And I don't think that a blue blood program like UK will ever offer that to anybody.
Well, and that's something that came up. I was listening to some other people talk. Just hypothetically, throw the $18 million buyout at him, bring him up here, and his son goes ahead and takes that job at Auburn now. That would be the only way that would work
out.
And no matter what the four of us think, nobody is 100% off the table.
Right.
We have seen crazy stuff happen before.
Yeah.
I think it is going to come down to our boy at Waco, or Billy Donovan. And I'll be right. I'm not going to be disappointed with either one of them, but I just have other choices.
Right.
And I'll throw a fourth guy in there. I think this guy should leave collegiate and go to UK now. I think we put Travis Carter's name on the board.
I'm in with Carter, yes. Could he wear the blue? I'm not sure.
I would wear one of them blazers like Joe B. Hall used to wear.
Hey, can I say one thing about Bruce Pearl, though? Just a notation. Cal had the biggest choke in the tournament. The second worst was Bruce Pearl. Auburn, 4 seed, gone. First game. So...
But Cal's done it for the last 4 years.
I mean, I know.
With this hire, I think Mitch Barnhart's in a situation where I think that he wants Scott Drew to have this job more than anybody.
I'm not going to be bummed at all.
This is a conversation that they've talked about numerous times, probably even on their little religious retreats they go on together. And
yes.
they've probably daydreamed about this together. And the fact that it's here right now, but here's the problem. I think if he offers that job to Scott Drew and then it leaks out that Billy Donovan wanted the job and didn't get the offer, he's got the fan base just mad as hell.
Then it's a real mess.
Because he's in a predicament with his playing game.
I think Billy Donovan is the first thing he's going to try to get done for the fan base.
Right. Well, let's all hope the Bulls lose tonight.
And then if that doesn't work, or say the timing doesn't work, like I really believe that Scott Drew will be there. And I think it scares the hell out of me as a Louisville fan because him at UK with UK's resources
Billy Donovan said.
Would just be amazing.
Billy Donovan just said, you saw what he said, and that came out just a couple hours ago. He just said, I have not been contacted by the University of Kentucky. I am focusing on the Chicago Bulls right now.
Well, that's
which,
what you have.
Yeah, I get it.
Obviously.
But you could also say, I have no I don't want to go there. I want to work on my team. We're going to build to win a championship.
You don't release a statement that says nobody talked. Like, I won't sit there and go up to anybody and be like, guess what? Freddie didn't text me today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like,
he's
in the hospital if that's not happening.
Yeah.
The hell I didn't text you.
You could, I mean, to be fair, we have one of the great
It means his agent
examples.
Was contacted, not him.
We have one of the great examples of a coach just flat out lying to the media in history when Nick Saban said, I will not be the coach of Alabama.
That was pretty good.
And what was about 36 hours later? See ya.
No, at least he didn't walk out of the locker room like Petrino did on the Falcons.
I think it's funny when coaches are always say, I have not been in a communication. Well, no shit, asshole. Your agent has been in a communication.
Right,
right. The
your agent's
time.
Been all right. over him.
And
right.
it's like,
or John L. Smith at halftime of the
Yes,
game.
John L.
And the worst part about that game is like it's going across the bottom screen and Marshall's kicking the shit out. Byron Leftwich had one like broken leg.
I remember.
His team's picking him up, carrying him downfield, and he's just throwing the ball over us. And they're like, your coach is leaving, and we're kicking your ass.
And John L. moved back here after he left Michigan State.
Everybody has the love later on down the line.
Once you come to Louisville, man, you can't
just shake
it.
Y'all are going to love Kenny Payne at the Derby. He's going to be there partying. You know where Kenny's headed? Hey, he's a country boy, likes to fish and hunt.
He'll be in
he's
Arkansas.
Headed straight to Arkansas.
Him and Brad can share fashion advice.
Oh, my God. He is going to Arkansas,
yep.
isn't he?
I bet he is. Yeah. See, that's his country yeah. down
he's
there.
He's going
dude.
There.
He ain't a city boy.
He's from he's Mississippi, going ain't
oh, he's
Low
from
country Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad used to give him, he would come over at Citation and wash his car for dates. And my dad would always leave him $5 in quarters there for Kenny Payne.
Can we go back
and
to Billy Donovan?
And they would talk about hunting.
Yes,
how,
please.
How long has he been an NBA coach now?
Is Billy 12
years?
Fish?
Oh, gosh. 14? No, it's been more. It's been since
08, 09 he left.
It's been close to 15 years.
It would be crazy, but he's going to have some badass assistants if he comes in, trust me.
But they can read all they want to about transfer portal and NIL. Until they've lived it, they have no clue what they're
know,
getting into.
I know.
And that's what worries.
Right.
Well, but it's not like it's been going on for years where all these coaches have a ton of experience in it. Like, this is all, like, within the last 3 years. And dudes are still learning on the fly.
That's
think it's the
point.
Perfect time for
that's
Billy
actually
to
a good point.
Yeah, and Scott Drew's got two McDonald's All-Americans that are now going to leave. They're going pro, both of them, that were freshmen there. And it's the perfect time, a perfect storm. I think it's pretty much going to happen. Now, what's going to be really crazy is if Drew doesn't happen, and then we got to wait with Donovan, and then you're like, well, who – like, here's a good question.
What if they both say
what
no?
What if everyone we've mentioned is out?
Mark Pope.
And by the way, Nate, hey, by the way, thanks for saying what you said, Nate Oates, you big puss.
That's your boy in Bama. You love him one week and hate him the next.
What
the hell's going on?
No, but the mere fact that he came out was like, and had this big diatribe where he was like, no, you know what? You're still second fiddle down there in Bama, boy, and don't you forget it. And you ain't got the balls to coach Kentucky. We didn't want you anyway.
This comes from the guy that ripped off the Superman outfit in Vegas and had his Bama t-shirt on underneath.
I don't like what he said today.
Last week he was talking about how good of a dresser he was.
No, he wears a lot of plaid together. You're
That's
right.
what I said. Yeah. And you were like, no, he
you
pulls
know what?
It off.
I'm buttoning my top button right now.
Get it, Mitch.
So say they both say no.
That, like, okay, that real quick, before we end this, Travis, we have named – everyone that's been on who would be next? We've named Bruce Pearl, so you can't say his
I
name.
I honestly think who that Mark would Pope be, would get a call.
Oh my God.
That's I where I mean that's where imagine. It goes from there. But I think TJ Otzelberger, even though that's a huge buyout and he won't leave Iowa State, I think you make that phone call
who?
And your boy at Nebraska, Hoiberg. I think you reach out to Hoiberg.
Oh, my Lord.
It gets wild after that. Why you say, oh, my Lord? He made Nebraska halfway relevant.
I heard.
The greatest thing, and we, I think we even talked about it when we were in Vegas, the greatest thing that could ever happen to me, to sports in general, to college basketball.
It ain't going to happen.
Would be Rick comes back home. That, I want that to happen so much. I'm trying to manifest that.
So I had two names. I had two names, and that's one of them. The other one is the coach of the year. Nobody's brought him up. Samson.
Oh, dude, he could not handle Kentucky.
He got two dudes in their
70s. Oh, my God.
No,
they would kill him.
That's
and
not
going to
happen.
He might kill everybody in Rupp.
You're
right
asking
now
for names. Yeah.
We actually
tried to throw him out there, though.
Colin and I were talking about that the other day.
I love him, but he would be horrible at that.
I would not hire a dude that's
he
in
would
the
never
70s.
Do it. He would go, look, I'm not doing any of that.
He's 68.
Well, Rick's but, 71.
But Kelvin Sampson loves being in kind of the, at this point of his career, loves being where he's at, kind of not, I mean, he's obviously they're very good and all that, but
he
him
can
and,
go
but,
anywhere he wants in the city of Houston and not, nobody would even
right,
say anything.
But him and Rick are two totally different. Like Rick Pitino would come back to Lexington. I mean, it would be his dream of life to come back to Lexington. And I want that to happen. I don't care about any of these other guys. I'm all on the Rick Pitino train.
All right, I'm giving y'all my guy.
All
because
right.
Because I
funny
did
to watch Cal come
see
up and kick
a,
his ass
a crazy story earlier
don't
today about
come
this
on
guy.
Woo Big Suey. I can't wait to watch Cal call in the Hogs tomorrow. No. Tell me that's not going to be the coolest thing. When Cal stands up there and he goes, woo.
I did see a crazy thing of this guy's name, and it was connected to Kentucky, da-da-da. Brad Underwood.
Oh, God. Please make it happen.
Of Illinois. I'm not kidding.
As well.
Oh,
yes,
make it happen.
I've seen that.
I saw Colin and I discussed this as well. I don't know how closely you guys really follow Illinois and really know what kind of personality Brad Underwood has. Mm-hmm.
I would rather follow an ant around the
Brad Underwood, and I love Brad Underwood. Brad Underwood would implode
absolutely
in 17 minutes under the microscope that is in Kentucky. There is nothing that he loathes more than having to deal with like the media and the boosters.
It would be like Charlie Strong at Texas.
Yes.
Like
yes.
Yeah.
And nobody's saying I think he's a fabulous basketball coach. And I enjoy watching him coach. I even like that he has the red ass all the time. But, dude, if he came to Kentucky, it might be one of the great meltdowns of all time.
Well, I have, you know who I don't want to come to Kentucky? And we didn't mention his name, and I'm surprised. But you know who I don't want? Chris Beard. Don't want him.
Well, and I respect that.
He's got baggage.
Matt likes him. Tuna likes him.
Well, I don't think that you guys would hire him. Like, I really don't.
I don't either.
But his name comes up on all that.
Well,
sure. Well,
Arkansas offered him and Jerome Tang, I believe, on Friday and Saturday, respectively. But both of them turned it down.
Is there anyone else we're missing? Like a young, fresh mind that's like...
I got one, and
it's
not
going to
happen.
Like the
kid Richard, but Mr. Electricity is going to... He wants stuff to be said on X by this comment, because they're going to be like, this guy's such an idiot. It's not happening. Rick Pitino Jr.
Right. Little Rick from
New
Mexico.
I would love that.
I would...
make it like, happen.
If it's not going to be Rick, yeah, let it be Richard.
Hell, I'll donate $5 to y'all's La Familia NIL.
I had somebody on
the only $5 we have.
Somebody on UK radio said Dawn Staley.
You know,
if that happens, I'm telling you right now, if that happens, I will wear Louisville Cardinal shit all year next year. She can stay in South
Carolina. I'd have took her at Louisville. She's a hell of a coach, dude.
Yeah, but, I mean, if she wants to come to Bloomington, we could probably make some arrangements.
But I guess we could say there's all kinds of coaches that are young, that are up and coming, and
but I just
Kentucky doesn't hire guys like that, right? So you're never gonna find anyone like that.
There's no anyone in the NBA that we're missing.
We tried that with Billy Gillespie.
There's no other person in the NBA that is
Kenny Payne.
No.
Okay.
Dwayne Casey's still coaching, I think.
I don't know. I don't think you hire a guy from the NBA. You hire, other than Donovan,
right, maybe the only one. Right. I think it's going to be Drew, and I think it's a done
I think
deal.
It's going to be Drew, and I don't know
you, if
why.
It isn't, it's going to be like, real interesting in the bluegrass if it's not him.
And the
because
thing
that's
is like,
their safety pillow.
He's such a likable guy, and I've always liked Kentucky to have this villain-type personality as their head coach where I can dislike them. But Scott Drew is going to make it hard to dislike. The only thing I could say is, like, you turned us down. That's the only thing I could have to hold
against
him.
If he came to Kentucky, would he bring his son with him?
I don't know. Maybe.
Would it be that big for him?
Well, looking back, did he turn him down because there was something kind of rumbling?
What are you talking about?
About, hey, you could have a chance to get the UK job. Do you want the U of L job? Do you want the UK
well,
job?
Well, and the only reason I,
oh,
I think
that's
there's
a good point.
The only reason I think there's something to that, Jody, is because Jerome Tang turned Arkansas down. And he wants that Baylor job more than anything.
But don't forget, Barnhart and him's been talking. So I, Barnhart almost, knows shit going on down at Louisville, believe me.
And I feel like
and he knew what was going on with Cal.
Jerome Tang is like, I can get that Waco job if it you know what I mean? If I wait this out.
If Tang's buddy texts Drew's buddy and go, hey, if I wait and take this UK job, you can slide into this one. That stuff happens. We
know
that.
Oh, for sure.
My understanding was Jerome Tang was the guy at like Arkansas and him were like, it was going to happen. It was like basically 99%. And then just out of the blue, he said no, which blew everybody's mind. That's why Arkansas boosters were like, what the hell do we do now? And they just went crazy and got Cal.
That has to. I think that's all going to come together.
I think it makes it's a done deal. Yeah. He comes up here and he goes.
Yeah, I think that's going to all be a connecting deal there. Okay, we figured it out, Travis.
Well, I didn't take as long as I thought it might.
Travis, you didn't make the cut, bud. Sorry. I was there for you.
I appreciate you throwing my name in there.
Well, he hasn't hired a staff yet.
Don't forget, Mark Stoops is still the king of Kentucky.
Everybody in Vegas knows that, Fred. All right. So a quick transition here. It's Masters Week.
Oh,
right.
Baby.
And just real quick, that shows how big a news this Calipari. Last year on the Masters Week, we had a whole musical thing.
Yeah.
The entire show was dedicated to the Masters. You did a Jim Nance intro.
Well,
that
if
brought
you
us in.
If you remember what happened. Last year, Fred and I were going on vacation, so there wasn't going to be a episode the following week. So what we did was we did a regular episode.
Oh, okay.
And then as soon as that episode was over,
we did a 30-minute Masters thing. Okay.
Now all of our listeners know our Masters background.
Okay.
So
they know we've never been.
Yeah. still never been. So this year we're on a regular schedule. We'll be back to a normal thing where we can recap the Masters. But I wanted to just quickly go over some of the marquee groups that are playing together on Thursday. And the Masters always does a great job of putting these guys together. We've got Matsuyama, Will Zalatoris, and JT. Rahm, Fitzpatrick, and Dunlap, who just almost won the tournament last weekend. Scottie Scheffler, McIlroy, and Xander Schauffele. Clark, Hovland, and Smith. Tiger Woods, Jason Day, and Max Homa. Brian Harman, Brooks Koepka, and Kim. Spieth, Åberg, and Tigala. Dustin Johnson, Morikawa, and Fleetwood. I mean, those are like back to back to back to back. One thing that makes the Masters so great. Do you guys have any sort of feel for now? I think Scottie Scheffler obviously is, he's 9-2. I think he's the overwhelming favorite. If he plays the way that he typically plays, he's going to win the tournament. Who outside of Scheffler are you guys looking at as a potential winner of the tournament this year?
U.S. just went up 2-1 in women's soccer, the final.
All right.
Oh, nice. Tuna, knock it out.
Obviously, a guy that's that plays Augusta great every year. I believe he finished second last year. Is John, not John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, who's
we
my guy.
We know you love Brooks.
I'll say him every year. But he's a guy, I think he's going to get it soon. I mean, he's just tinkering with it nonstop. If you're going to bet, I definitely bet him in the top 10 and the top 5. Joaquin Niemann, the Chilean. Who's he's actually been playing good.
He likes Skyline a whole lot.
Yeah, John Rahm's a guy that you obviously look for. Victor Hovland, Tony Finau. I keep waiting for him to do it.
Dude,
I don't think he can get over that hump, man.
I don't think he can do it. I don't think he can do it. Well,
I'd
name
love
them
to
all.
See it. Sam Burns, Cam Young.
Whoa. Don't name them all. I got a few, too.
Okay, go for it.
Well, I was going to say about Rahm. I don't know how much of the like live at the Masters or whatever you guys have been watching.
I've been watching. I'm worried about Rahm a little bit. But he still shoots what he shoots. I mean,
but he hasn't been playing particularly well.
No, but I think sometimes when you come to the Masters,
did he win?
Does something to you?
No, he hasn't won since.
No,
his
team's won.
Rumor has it that he's homesick from the PGA Tour.
Well, I mean, it's not a rumor. He's basically came out and said, "I thought that things would be going a little bit differently
right.
I came to live and blah blah blah."
But he made the move to live once once Dingleschnitz teamed up with him. So it wasn't like he just said, "I'm going to live," before they had been in talks of connecting together.
But I think he thought that by now, and he admitted as much in his press conference. He said, "I thought I would be the guy that brought more people over and forced us to get together."
Right.
And his body language is horrible. He clearly is having buyer's remorse for having jumped ship. I'm sure the $5.8 bajillion he got is easing the pain a little bit, but it's incredibly obviously difficult to go back to back at any major, let alone the Masters. I would almost throw Rahm out.
Oh, he don't like my pick.
I would almost throw Rahm out as a guy that can win this week.
Considering the odds that he's getting, I believe he's the third favorite.
Yep,
he's the second Vegas.
Okay,
I would not pick him. Which is not to say that he can't, because I think he is as talented as any player in the world. It's not to say that he can't do it, but I don't think it's trending in the right direction.
And just
for
so
him
you
right
know,
now.
Rory went before him at our pick'em.
And that's
I thought about taking Shoffley because he's due, but I'm not quite sure if he can get over the damn hump.
I love
he's got to win a major soon, for God's sake.
I love Will Zalatoris the way he is trending right now.
He's playing good, yes. And I'll tell you another guy that's playing really good that is a Masters winner, Matsuyama.
Yep.
Hideki Matsuyama. And I can't say that I know who Ludvig Åberg is,
yeah,
but we all know him now from Ryder Cup.
He was a rookie on the Ryder
Cup.
Yeah,
that dude's a little stud.
He's potentially going to be the number one player in the world for the next 6 or 7 years if he keeps trending in the direction he's going.
Yeah, I think Thigala's a good someone that you can keep an eye on. And you know, I don't know if Homa sets up for the Masters, but who doesn't want to see him win a Masters?
I just like to see him win a major.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care which one.
We're all waiting for that. Yeah. We're all waiting for that.
Three of the names that come up to me that are like off the board kind of people is Brian Harman, number one. Being a lefty on that course, he's figured it out a few times. He's getting better on that. Cameron Young is a person mm-hmm. that always seems to play that course good. Where's my guy with the stash, the shady mustache? Ming-Woo Lee. The little skinny dude, man. I don't know. He's crafty around the greens. So that's just someone that could have three guys that came to mind that I might put a little money on to make the top 10.
Tuna, give me three guys that are going to finish in the top 10.
All right. Obviously I'm going to go with Brooks Koepka. I think Scheffler's obviously a top 10. And then I'm going to throw one long shot out there who has had a good 2024. He's got three top 10 finishes, the pride of Hickory, North Carolina, the postman, JT Poston.
Ah, I love JT,
dude.
Fred, three guys to make the top 10.
I gave them to – I'm going to go with Cameron Young. I'm going to go with Harman. And I did say Ming-Woo Lee, but I also think that Matt Fitzpatrick has a good shot.
I like the Fitzpatrick pick. I like it. Jody, do you have a three for the top 10?
I do, and they're taking Brooks, Scheff, and Fitzpatrick. I was thinking about that before you even talked. I got a question, though. Is Mickelson playing? Not that he's going to win.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, he is playing.
Yes.
One other thing, Tiger Woods is plus 10,000.
Right.
About $10 on
that. Hey, dude, for sure.
And the other one, what about Cam Smith? Is he in the field?
Yeah,
because if he's in the field.
Oh,
he's
no, Cam Smith for sure. Yes, Cameron Smith is in the field, he's due.
He's top 10 in my book.
He's top 10.
Cam Smith is actually like, I think he's like 31-1 or what, plus 3,100. So his odds aren't like out of the park.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He's 11th.
JT Poston is plus 18,000 to
one. You know who I love, Travis, my number one pick? Scheffler.
Well, yeah, he's everybody's number one pick.
I just wanted to say it. Hello, every time they ask me who you like, Scheffler.
Scotty Scheffler, I would say throw your kids' college fund on to make the top 10. I'm going to take Scheffler, McIlroy, and, boy, my third – my third is so difficult. I'm going to take Finau.
Tony Finau.
I'm going to take Finau as my third.
Did Tuna take Danny Willett?
I'd take
Danny
Willett.
He always plays good. He's a master's champ.
Guys, who's going to win it?
Brooks.
Koepka, Fred, who's going to win it?
You know what? I'm going with Matsuyama getting a second.
I was wondering, nobody threw him in there and even talked about it. Like, I'm going to go Scheff. He's hot. He is playing so
he's been
good.
Working
well,
out.
Yeah, I mean.
He's been working out all week.
And I'm going to continue my every major since we've started this podcast. I think I've picked the
same
guy. I'm going to take Rory to win the Masters.
Hey,
We get
Brooks and
good.
Rory on Sunday playing together.
Oh, my God.
And them just mouthing at each other
That would be the greatest
final
Sunday.
Dude, McIlroy's playing great right now. I think he's playing good.
Well, he still has a tendency to spray it all over the course. If he can just stay...
Hey, what
within
about
himself.
Who's the guy that just won this tournament that blew his shoulder out celebrating? Dude, he's pretty hot right now, too.
Yeah, he's not going to win the Masters. He's not going to win the Masters.
Did you watch it, Tuna? Yeah. Did you see him get his shoulder?
He is not going to win the Masters. I can tell you that right now.
Travis, you brought something up earlier about Zalatoris. I don't think he's going to do well because he had that back fusion surgery that Tiger had. Anybody with back problems does not play well because that's one of the hardest courses to walk.
Yeah.
It is difficult to walk that course.
Yeah, but if you watched his press conference today, he said it's the best he's felt in 10 years. He
said, I think he's going to be like, I hurt bad.
He said, he
barely walk.
He said, I'm driving the ball further than I ever have. Mm-hmm. My iron, he goes, my irons are always great, and I'm putting as good as I ever have. Like, and he's also not 47 years old.
I think
or
you
whatever.
Can talk yourself into a lot of things, but come Saturday after you've walked that a couple times, you're like, all right, I can't do this. But
I would be shocked if Zalatoris isn't in the top 15. I would be shocked.
Remember Bones McKay said it's a love hate relationship with Augusta. He goes, you love being there, enjoy every minute. He goes, but I am physically exhausted.
Speaking of Bones, who's on the bag for Justin Thomas this weekend?
Don't know. I just know that it's not Bones.
Yeah. Is he with anybody this weekend?
Bones?
Know. Yeah.
Hopefully he's back on television.
Yeah.
Because he was so good on TV.
No, is Kisner? He's probably playing. He ain't going to miss the Masters.
I don't think
Kisner
qualified. It's the smallest major field.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. So there's our picks for the Masters. Fred. I know we had a couple of derby preps. We're kind of up against it, but you have time to talk about derby preps.
We had a couple great derby preps that went on this weekend. The Bluegrass Stakes.
Play a bunch of nags to me.
The Bluegrass Stakes went off. We had the Santa Anita Derby as well and the Wood Memorial. The Santa Anita Derby was won by Stronghold, a horse that I was betting, and I did bet and did win. Hope you took him. He is a horse that has won at Churchill, and he has broken his maiden at a mile when he was like a long time ago and beat Track Phantom and Resilience. Keep a note of that, folks. Stronghold is really looking like a tough horse. It's coming up strong. Sierra Leone wins the Bluegrass on a wonderful, badass, come from behind, outside. The two best closers in the Derby, the three best closers in the Derby will be Sierra Leone, Catching Freedom, and Honor Marie. So keep an eye on them. I don't think they have a shot. Because it's so hard to close in the Kentucky Derby coming four wide, depending on the weather and everything else. You also had the Wood Memorial, and it was kind of a flat race, won by Resilience, who is a horse that is starting to move up the ladder a little bit as well. He upset a couple of fairly decent horses, Dornick and Deterministic that were really high buzz horses have now moved down the board a little bit. So you had those three winners and you got one race left, folks. Derby Prep, it used to be called the Coolmore Stakes. Mm-hmm. It is the Lexington Stakes. That will be this Saturday, and it's everybody that needs points.
Right.
And who are we betting on, Tuna?
I don't know. You tell me. Encino?
Hey, buddy.
Encino.
Pauly Shore. We're going Encino. Encino Man. Whatever you want to call it. Liberal Arts is running again. Hades. Hades is running again, which is the one nut. Or no nuts, actually.
That's
gelding,
what I tried to tell you.
Gelding, gelding.
And you're like, no, they have one. Yeah. And I was like, no, they don't have any.
They don't have any, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but nevertheless, I don't think many of those horses are going to have a shot. But please bet, please check it out and try to get, if you get, see good odds on Encino, put your money on him. That's it, buddy. And after that, it's almost time to start, you know, getting into, like, maybe every once in a while I'll talk about just two horses.
Yeah, it'll be fireworks time here, what, in 2 weeks?
Yeah, Thunder That's over crazy. Louisville. Baby. Yeah,
by the way, Jonathan India is playing tonight. Matt just pointed that out, so after he took a ball to the face.
It's not helping the Reds. It's not helping the Reds tonight, is it?
Toughness. Grit.
Quickly, I just wanted to say that DC Defenders got off the schneid this week. Tuna, how did your UFL team do this week?
Well, they went into a raucous atmosphere in St. Louis and took an L to the Battlehawks.
Caca! Caca!
That was probably one, and I'm not being facetious when I say this, it was one of the most insane environments I've seen at any sporting event. Those St. Louis fans love their damn Battlehawks. You see these other stadiums and they're half full and they're like people that got free tickets with rallies. Dude, they were jam-packed there in St. Louis. And
40,000 record.
And screaming and yelling and into every play. It was wild, man.
And folks, so much to say that we're the Blockout Sports Pod is thinking about at some point this year when things slow down a little bit, going to a game in St. Louis.
Yeah, I think that'd be an awesome time.
I got my jersey ready, bro.
Can I wear my DC shirt?
We wear our team.
Yes. I gotta get me a Renegade jersey.
Yeah,
get me a Renegade XFL championship shirt to wear.
Oh, there you go.
Because we won an XFL championship.
Right. Living in the past. Well, why don't you just wear your Chiefs hat?
I know that baseball is getting up and running. The NBA playoffs are going to be starting pretty soon.
As well as the NHL playoffs.
And the NHL playoffs.
And we're going to get into all that.
We will be talking about that here very shortly, probably starting next week. Guys, we're pushing up against the end of the show. I wanted to go ahead and throw it around the room. Final thoughts, anything that you wanted to bring up, Tuna?
Yeah, eclipses are dumb. That's all I got.
I'm gonna say this. I went up to Bloomington for the eclipse yesterday. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life.
They keep telling us that like this is the last one for 200 years, and then like 3 years from now we'll have another one, and everybody's just gonna stand outside and put these 3D glasses on like they're at the movie theater and just stare up at the sky.
Turn around.
Look, I'm a moon guy. I'm a huge moon guy.
I was just about to
say, big moon guy.
Bonnie
Tyler.
The king of the moon hates eclipses.
I think it's a joke. But anyway, go on.
I don't think you've ever seen a total eclipse before, because I hadn't until yesterday. Mm-mm-mm. And it was completely different from being here. I mean, it went from being 3 o'clock in the afternoon to being midnight in 30 seconds.
So would you rather see that or a moonbow?
Well, I see moonbows all the time.
You don't see moonbows. There's only two places you can see a moonbow. One of them's here in Kentucky.
Gorge.
No, like Cumberland Falls.
I thought
Cumberland Falls isn't the gorge. And then Victoria Falls?
And we got Carl Sagan over here giving us a...
It's in Kentucky. You can see them, like, I think 4 times a year, and it's like this amazing phenomenon where you see a rainbow across the moon at night in the waterfall.
Next time you go and see that, make sure you take a picture and send it to us. Fred, final thoughts.
Thanks, cooler thanks than the clips. Navy Crockett, I appreciate that information. Saw Oppenheimer this week. Great movie. Wore me out. I got to watch it again. But great movie. Very intense.
Jody.
Thanks, everybody, last Thursday for the great dinner. And Saturday, thank you all for the cake. I appreciate it.
And what did the cake say?
It said, well, I don't know exactly what it said.
HBD WBJ. Happy birthday, Whiteboard Jody.
Oh.
And I want to thank everybody for listening. Obviously, always. I'm not going to get into anything else here because we're pushing up right against the end of our...
That and your eyes probably hurt from staring at the sun yesterday.
Holy smokes. So,
isn't his contract up for renewal, Travis?
If it is, I need to get on that Calipari train. We don't know.
Hey, I'll go to Arkansas tomorrow.
Mark Few, get on a flight tomorrow.
Hey, Fred.
I'm to Lexington.
I was going to say, Fred, we don't know this asshole a buyout, do we?
Oh, God.
I want to thank everybody for listening. For Whiteboard Jody, the big fella of the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.